Hello and welcome to another episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. My name is Tom Haynes. I'm your host, and just in case you're listening for the first time, I have over 30 years experience as an air traffic controller, about 12 to 13 of that in a tower and 17 in a en route center. And then I spent 5 years after I retired from the FAA, spent 5 years as an instructor at the FAA Academy, where I was in the en route portion, first as a radar instructor, then as a non-radar instructor for about 4 years, and 3 years as a A-lead in the classroom. And then the last year that I was there, I spent as a lead instructor in the classroom. So I have seen just about all there is to see. I've worked everything from a VFR tower to a non-radar approach control to a limited radar tray cab at Dallas Love Tower to an en route center where I worked one of the busiest corner posts into the fifth busiest airport in the world. So worked my share of traffic over the years. And now I'm doing this. Now, after having spent some time at the academy and basically loving helping students get through, helping students pass, helping students get a start to their FAA career, I've now decided to get back into that particular part of it, which is why I'm here doing this podcast. I want to help anyone who is at the academy, anyone who's thinking about going to the academy, to realize that dream, because an air traffic controller is, in my opinion, the best job that there is out there. And there were times when I was at the academy that I really felt like being an academy instructor was even better than being an air traffic controller. But I felt the same way when I got into coaching soccer after having played soccer. I played in college, played a little bit after college in a very, 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 very semi-pro environment. But got into coaching when I was in college and figured out that I loved coaching. And I still love coaching. I love trying to help people fall in love with what I love to do. And those, the two things that I have loved throughout my life, as far as things to do, have been playing soccer and being an air traffic controller. So, this is obviously not a podcast about playing soccer. It is a podcast about being an air traffic controller. So, what are we going to talk about today? I am going to talk about, last week I talked about what is a point out and why it matters, why you should care about what a point out is. Today we're going to take care of the other thing, and that is a handoff. What is a handoff and why should you care? Well, to begin with, we'll, just like last week, we'll go into a definition of what is a handoff. What is a radar handoff? And according to the definition they give you at the academy, a radar handoff is the transfer of radar identification of an aircraft and the transfer of communication of that aircraft. Whereas a point out was transfer of radar identification without the transfer of communication, meaning that the person who was working him is going to point him out so that he can travel through someone else's airspace without having to switch him to that controller. He just stays with the first controller. A handoff is kind of the opposite. He's going into another sector. That sector needs to talk to him. And so it's going to be a handoff, not a point out. And there are some times, and this happens at the academy, so listen up, there are some times when a point out turns into a handoff. And what I mean is, someone calls your sector, another sector calls your sector, and tries to point a guy out. They want to use part of your airspace for their aircraft without having to switch into you, and then you switch into the next controller. Well, sometimes, and most of the time, that does work. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you have traffic for him that, instead of just showing that traffic to the controller next to you or the sector next to you, it just makes sense for you to work the aircraft and ensure that they're separated. And then you can let him go on his way, climb, descend, whatever he needs to do. Okay? So there is a possibility when someone calls you with a point out and you have traffic and you need to stop them, that you tell them to maintain an altitude, the aircraft ID, maintain an altitude, radar contact. And by saying radar contact, you're telling that controller, I want to talk to him. Here's what you need to do. Stop him at an altitude. I need to talk to him. And at that point, they're going to go, cool, I can do that. They get off the line. They talk to the airplane. They stop him at an altitude, and they switch him to you, and you get to work him. And that's how a point out becomes a handoff. Now, most of the time, that's not what happens. It does happen at the academy. They do ask you, as a student, as the D side, to make that call. Okay? And your instructors are going to be doing a really good job. They do a really good job of emphasizing that, both the lead and A lead in the breakout room and the instructors in the lab. They do a very good job of covering that. The FAA does a good job of making them cover it. And so you will get to practice that several times. And it may come up on those days when it counts. I don't know that for sure, but it may. I wouldn't be surprised if it does. Okay? So you may see it when it counts. But that's a point out that becomes a handoff. Normally what happens is just a straightforward handoff. I have an aircraft that's flying through my sector. He's going to go into another sector because as big as some of my sectors were, they were not the size of the United States. And so an aircraft is going to go through one sector into another. And so what we do is when we're through with that airplane, and in plenty of time to give the next sector time to look at it and evaluate it, we start a radar handoff, and it starts flashing at him. A data block that was not on his radar scope all of a sudden is, and it is flashing. And it's hard to describe what that looks like without you actually looking at radar. So I won't even try. Let's just agree with me that it's flashing. The data block is actually flashing. And what the receiving controller will do is he will look at it. He will look at his traffic. He will see if he has anything that he needs to do to it. And when he decides that it's okay, he will either type in the CID, the aircraft ID, or the beacon code, or he can use his little slew ball and slew over and pick and accept the handoff. That's called accepting the handoff. And that has been a transfer of radar identity of an aircraft. They saw the data block. You flash the data block. They see the data block. Everybody knows that's the aircraft, and we're good to go. And when he accepts the handoff, that transfer has been completed. Now, remember the definition of the handoff. Transfer of radar identification with communication. So the handoff isn't complete until the aircraft is actually switched to the receiving controller. And he checks on with the receiving controller, and the receiving controller can now talk to that aircraft. And that's the basics of a radar handoff. So we're good to go. 10-minute podcast. We're done. Not quite. And this mainly happens at the academy. There'll be a computer malfunction of sorts. One computer is not talking to the other computer, or one computer doesn't really like that other computer, so they're giving them the silent treatment or something like that. They're not talking. And so the controller can't initiate a handoff, and the receiving controller obviously can't accept the handoff. So now we can't do it automated, in an automated fashion. We now have to do what they call a manual handoff. And I guarantee you 100%, without doubt, you will see at least one of these on those 2 days that it counts in the radar lab. Okay? So these are very important. They do give you more than enough opportunity to practice this, but it is in the lab. But it is also something that you can and should practice at home with your classmates. Okay? So what's going to happen? Let's say Jackson approach. I don't know if it's called Magnolia approach now or if they still call it Jackson approach. But Jackson approach is what it was called when I was there about 3 years ago. They have an aircraft that's coming towards your airspace. It's going to travel through your airspace. And so they try to do an automated handoff. It doesn't work. They get an error message of some sort. So now they call you with a manual handoff. And more than likely, a flight plan. Because their computer was not talking to our computer. So our computer knows nothing about this aircraft. And so you're going to have to get a blank strip, answer the line, have your pen ready, key up the line, answer Magnolia low, and then they will give you call sign, type aircraft, speed. Well, call sign, type aircraft, beacon code, speed. When he was at this fix, altitude, route of flight. And you're going to look over, you're going to see the beacon code, and you're going to, before you do anything, look at what altitude that aircraft is at and find the traffic that the FAA has intended to hit him with. Don't look for it. Find it. Because believe me, it's there. Okay? There's no reason, or very little reason, for them to do a manual handoff in a situation where it counts, where your score counts on a scenario without there being traffic for the manual handoff. So don't look for the traffic. Find the traffic. And I know I have told this story on a previous podcast. I will tell it again. Let's suppose that you're at the academy in my class, and I tell you, class, I have hidden $1 million somewhere on the academy grounds. So my question for you is, if you're told that, are you going to just look for that $1 million? Or are you going to find that $1 million? It doesn't sound like much, but there's a huge difference between those two words. Now, disclaimer, I don't have $1 million. I didn't hide $1 million at the academy. So there's no reason to look or find the $1 million that was supposedly hidden at the academy. It's not there. But going on, 95% chance there will be traffic for your manual handoff. If you find him and you look and you know that there's a good altitude that you can give the aircraft, tell them aircraft ID at 8,000, let's say, or 7,000, 8,000 instead of 6,000, something like that. At 8,000, radar contact. So now it's their responsibility to enter your airspace at 8,000. You have just solved a potential separation error. Okay? But now you have some things to do. You have to tell the RSight, hey RSight, I took a handoff or accepted a handoff on or west of Magnolia, November so and so at 8,000 route to follow or some or that last part they may not require anymore. But aircraft ID, what altitude? The R side will type in the aircraft ID, will slew over, start a data block. Okay, now you're done, right? Oh, how many times do I have to say this? No, you're not. You're not done, not by a long shot. Now your main priority is getting that flight plan into the computer. Okay, the computer still does not know anything about that airplane. It doesn't know route of flight. It doesn't know what type he is. It doesn't know how fast he's going. It knows nothing. You, at this time, are the computer. That's why you had to look for traffic before. The computer normally looks for traffic for all our aircraft, but if it doesn't know anything about it, it can't. So you have to. So now your number one priority, well, maybe not your number one priority. Make sure that you don't have any point outs that are pending that need to get done, or any other coordination that is pending that needs to get done. The main thing are going to be point outs. And here again, I'm talking about a scenario at the academy. You will get multiple opportunities to do this. So once you've determined that you don't have any higher priorities, you now have to enter that flight plan into the computer. This is why you need to practice this. This is why you need to practice this. This is why you need to practice this. To get so good at it that it only takes you one time to get it in. You don't have to be quick. You just have to be thorough. You have to be exact. You have to do it with no mistakes. Get it into the computer. Let the computer start looking for traffic. That's why you want it in the computer. Now you can go on to other things. The computer will take care of making sure that there are no other airplanes that aircraft is going to conflict with. And now you're done with the manual handoff. Or are you? So let's say this aircraft came out of Jackson approach and he's going due westbound. He's going to end up going into Monroe approaches airspace. And if our computer was not talking to Jackson approach, then I would say there's a 99.99999% chance that that flight plan is not going to pass to Fort Worth Center's computer either. So you might as well keep your eye on that guy and start working or start planning on doing a manual handoff to Monroe approach. And probably having to give them a flight plan. Here again, this is something you practice in the labs. This is something that you have to practice on your own with your classmates. Make sure that your entire class is ready for this particular item in the scenario. Do not let it trip any of your classmates up. practice it until you are fluent in manual handoff. And it will help you so much. Because that aircraft gets into Monroe Approaches airspace without a handoff, without a manual handoff, without them saying radar contact. Guess what? You just got a separation error. Okay? So, it is important. Manual handoffs don't happen that much. You will not see them that much once you leave the academy. They will still happen, just not very often. The automation has gotten so good. Center to center, the computers talk fluently with each other. Center to approach control, as long as it's a major approach control, they talk fairly fluently to each other. That is one thing that the FAA has definitely made better over the years. And it's been almost 10 years since I retired, and I can't imagine the improvements that they've made in 10 years. Okay? So, the manual handoffs you see at the academy will more than likely be the last manual handoffs you do in your career. They may not be, but more than likely they will be. So just make sure that you practice and get fluent in manual handoff. Make sure you practice the things we talked about last week. Make sure you're fluent in point out. Make sure you're fluent in how to make a point out into a handoff. Make sure you're fluent in these things so that you're, so that you can be so good at them that you don't necessarily have to think about them, about how to do them when you're in that scenario, those final three scenarios at the end. Okay? Make sure that you're fluent in that, because that will save you so many points when it comes to those last three problems and scenarios. So that is a handoff. Not to be confused with the handoff position when you get to your first en route facility or tower facility for that matter. Okay? Manual handoffs, automated handoffs, point outs, flight plans. Those are the major point killers at the academy. They involve separation, and that's why they involve more points. They involve making sure that airplanes are safe. That's why they are worth so many points. And that is why you need to practice them and practice them and practice them, so that you get so good that the FAA can't possibly take one of those 16-point errors from you. It takes four what we used to call middle errors to equal one separation error. It takes eight phraseology errors to equal one separation error. Eight strip marking errors to equal one separation error. That's how expensive and how important they are. And that's how expensive and how important point outs and handoffs are. And you may be thinking, well, I'm only the D side. I'm not the radar. Well, that's true at your first facility, or as the FAA likes to call it, your next facility. At the academy, believe it or not, it's not the radar that runs the sector. It's the D side. It's you, the student, that runs the sector. And so run it. Take charge. Take control of it. Go in there with confidence. You, by the time you get to the evals, you have done everything that is going to come up, and you have done it correctly multiple times. It's just a question of putting it all together in one 45-minute session. You can do it. I know you can. I've seen students do it, and I've seen students do it well, and I know that you can do it well. And so, that's it for today. If you have any questions that you want to have answered, email me at tomhaines@sidebysideatc.com. I love getting questions, and I love giving you guys answers. Thank you so much for listening to these podcasts. They're being listened to all around the world. It's amazing to watch. It's amazing to see. And thank you so much. I'm so humbled that you guys take the time to listen. And I would be more than happy to take the time to answer any questions you have. And until next week, if you're at the Academy, hang in there. Keep going. Don't give up. You've got a chance as long as you don't give up. And keep going. Whether it's terminal, en route, keep going. Keep practicing. Keep learning. And keep sleeping, because your brain's learning while you're sleeping. And that's a big part of it. But thank you again for listening. And I hope and pray that you guys have a great week. Christmas is coming up. Have a great Christmas. And if you're going to see family, enjoy your time with your family. I'm going to enjoy my time with my family and extended families. And until we meet again, you guys have a great day.